Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. And thank you, guys. All righty. Have you all been enjoying the Colossians series? I think it's been great. But I will tell you, like you don't know this already, I'm not Mario. I know that's a news flash for many of you, but I needed to say that not just for you. I needed to say that for me today. On the way in here, I was praying and the Holy Spirit said, just be you. I like you. Just be you. It's okay. You don't need to be anybody else. Aw, thank you. And words are my love language, so that is very, very nice to hear. So we are going to launch in today, and the title of this message, and let me just first say, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. I know you're here, but I just ask that you would come and you would teach, because you're so fun, but you're also so revelatory, and you do things that I would never think of doing, and so I just want to invite you again to come and to teach us, to show us about Jesus and what he's done, to just let us encounter him here this morning. I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your love as we prayed this morning in prayer, that your love is here and that you are saturating our souls this morning. And we thank you for that. Amen. So we are at Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to do 1, 21 through 23. But I want to just start by saying, how many of you really enjoy the before and after shows, or maybe hearing a testimony of a before and after? I'm not addicted to TV. I hardly watch any TV. I'm just not a TV person. But if I do, I really enjoy the ones on houses. And I thought about, you know, you look at something like this, this dilapidated house, and then by the end of the show or whatever, you see the next slide and you see that went to this. And it just really makes me think, why is it that we so love to hear the stories? Deep down, we really want, if we really are truthful, we want to see people succeed and we want to see things restored. And I really believe that's because it's in our history and it's in our DNA, as we're going to read right now as we go into Colossians 1, 21 through 23. So this says, once you, me, we were alienated from God and we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. And I'm going to put that in present tense for us just to make it a little bit more personal, because it's very easy to say, you know, no, it's we. This is us. This is our before. But now he has reconciled us by Christ's physical body through death to present us holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if we continue in the faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that we heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul speaking, became a servant. This is a great word for us, because, I mean, every word in the Bible is great. But this, when I read this, all I could think of was, this was us before, and then this is us after. So we're going to kind of go with that theme. So, verse 21, this was us. We had no position. We had no part. We had no place. We were outside the kingdom. And this passage uses the word alienated. And I looked that up in the dictionary. And it actually is defined as causing someone to feel isolated or estranged. Scripture clearly teaches that it was our sin which separated us, that isolated us and estranged us from God, okay? I don't know about you, but before I knew the Lord, the whole idea of sin, like I didn't get the sin thing. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't get the sin thing. It sounded archaic and outdated to me. But the Bible, as well as history, declare that the wages of sin bring death. And Adam and Eve, you know, they would have lived forever if they had not fallen short of the glory of God, as we all have, and made the choice to go their own way, to choose another master. And God in his mercy, Father God in his mercy, did not allow them to live forever in that state. So because sin or separation from God takes life, then it's required, then life is then required to repay sin's debts. There's an equation here. And when you think about the Old Testament, and those of us that don't have a Jewish heritage, I mean, in the natural, we all have it in the spiritual. The Old Testament was all about the life being in the blood, the sacrifice of life to acquit and to cover temporarily the sins of the people. But even today, science, and I read a lot of health stuff, and it is fascinating to me to see how much science is talking about the blood, the life that's in the blood. And it makes me think, I think science is great, but I really love the Bible because the Bible knew it even before science. God knew what he was doing. But only one person's blood could cover and redeem all humanity for all eternity, all the way back and all the way forward. And of course, that was Jesus. So like Paul talks about in this verse, he says, before Christ, our mind, our thoughts, our behaviors were against God. We were contrary to God and the kingdom. We were against him, and we were flowing with the God of this world, needing a savior, but not even really, really realizing it. I didn't know I needed a savior until the gospel was preached to me. I didn't. Until we got born again from on high, we lived according to low earthly values, right? I did. Yeah, I did. What the world would call normal, as if there is a normal, but really the normal of the world is actually just doing whatever is right according to the culture of the day. And as we all know, that changes all the time. All the time. And we all know that our mind is the seedbed for our actions. So what we have to understand, though, that even when I didn't know the Lord, not every thought in my mind was mine. Even as a Christian, not every thought in our minds are ours. It's true. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have said in Corinthians, take every thought captive that is not in obedience to Christ. I like to think of our minds, at least I think of my mind, sometimes as a computer. What we download in is what is in it, what fills it. But just like a computer, there's still potential for someone to try to hack in and rewrite what's been installed, unless it's protected. I know this way too well, let me tell you. Yeah, we won't go there. But the enemy is, and he continues to be, or attempt to be, a mind hacker. You know, you hear a lot about, you know, hacking, life hacking, this hacking, that. You know, the enemy was the original hacker. And when I think of that, I think of anybody that's trying to get in. Some hackers might want to improve things, and you like health, you want to, kick it up. But with the enemy, that's not the type of hacking that he's trying to do. Hacking, hijacking, he's trying to of course, take over. If he can manipulate our thoughts, he has a hand on the rudder of our life. Unless we know, recognize it, and walk in the truth. We need to take charge of our thoughts. We are in control. This is our mind. And I, you know, people might think, well, gee, I'm spending a lot of time on this. Mm-hmm. Especially doing sozo ministry, it's amazing some of the things that run through people's minds that they don't even know are not true. And they're living their life with these thoughts and these lies. You know, in Proverbs 4:23, it says that we are to guard our heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, I looked that word up in the concordance, that word heart, because I have always assumed, you know what they say about assumption, it's the lowest level of intellect. And I looked that up, and it said, it actually, what some of the definitions for it were feelings, will, and even intellect. I thought, wait a minute. I thought it was just my heart, like my spirit, the core of who I am. Yes, it is. But it also includes our mind. And it was interesting. I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to. That verse came to mind. The Holy Spirit brought that verse to mind. And I was upstairs in my prayer room. And yes, I had my essential oils diffusing. I had to put that plug in. No, I'm just kidding. I did, though. I did have them, and I had the windows open. And the Holy Spirit immediately said to me, why are you diffusing that and having the windows open? I went, oh. And then he immediately said, that's the difference, is that you've been using this verse, only applying it one way, keeping things out, which is right, which is good, which we need to do. But he said, you also need to guard what I've put in you. And see, I need just practical, down-to-earth kind of stuff like that. I won't forget that because it was a picture for me to hold on to. And let me tell you, since then, when I've diffused my oils, even when it was a little bit warm, I made sure that the door was closed and the windows were closed because I wanted the good stuff that was coming in through that, as well as, obviously, the Spirit. So we're told in Romans 12, to not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So our thoughts, there's this continual, ongoing dialogue. And most of the time, this is unconscious. But I can't remember, I think it's Lance Wallno, who quoted once how many words go through our minds. It's thousands per like minute or something. It's crazy. And a plug, he's doing my life group by DVD. But when you think about how many times these thoughts are coming through our mind, how many times are we quick to say, wait a minute, whoop, stop right there. That doesn't equate with the truth. Because it's work to do that. And we tell people in Sozos, in the beginning, it takes time, a lot more time. You have to be diligent because you are the one, you're the gatekeeper. You're the gatekeeper. I'm the gatekeeper of our minds. So I love what Bill Johnson says about this. He's got a great one-liner on this. And he says, we cannot afford to have a thought in our head that is not in his. Seems like a tall order, doesn't it? But it's true, because we are in the process of being transformed into not only the image of Christ, but the word says that we have the mind of Christ. I love the fact that it says we. Paul didn't say, I have the mind of Christ. He said, we have the mind of Christ. Collectively, that's what we need each other for a multitude of reasons, but one of them is we need the mind of Christ. I need the mind of Christ in you. I need the mind of Christ in you. I need your part. I'm jumping ahead. So I didn't want to tell you straight up, but this is going to be a little interactive. this message. You know my style. It's just the way it works. That's the way I roll. So I am going to have you close your eyes because we're going to ask Father God what's on his mind for us today. So close your eyes. No peeking. And I want us all to say, you could just repeat after me, Father, how did you feel when I was alienated from you? And I know some of you are hearing or seeing or feeling something right now. And I can't stay here too long. But and for those of you that might not be, that's okay. All right. But I know some of you. I want you to, if you have something to write it down, I would encourage you to do that. Otherwise, maybe write it down later, because you asked Father God a question and he answered you. So we, alienation, separation, and isolation, that was our before. But thankfully, that's not our now. Because our position and our perception have completely changed if we've accepted Christ. Our but now is because of Jesus, who did his part. He reconciled, restored, and reconnected us with Father God. That was his part. And he's been faithful to do it. So as we continue on in this passage, we learn that Jesus has positionally translated us. Through his shed blood and broken body, we were not only eternally cleansed, saved, and delivered from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son of his love, but we were also adopted into the family. I thought it was pretty cool today when Barb talked about adoption and Jim turned to me and said, we're all adopted. I said, yep, that's true. That's true. We are. Jesus saved us from sin, not to sin. And then he made us citizens of a new kingdom, of a new master. The transaction that took place with Adam and Eve back in Genesis that I shared earlier about them living in that state, they chose to change masters. I'm sure they didn't know that at the time. But when they obeyed the serpent, they changed masters. But now, because of Jesus's atoning death, that transaction has been canceled. Now, it's been done. It still needs to be received. So why did Father God send Jesus? And why did Jesus say yes? God could have just said, you know what, let's just scrap this whole thing. And let's just start over. I mean, sounds easier to me. Brian Simmons, in his book, Letters from Heaven by the Apostle Paul, I think he puts it, this verse 22, beautifully. In it, he says, he released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. I didn't talk to Kelly about the song list, but that song, it's called Dwell, isn't it? Yeah. I thought, how perfect, because that's the why. That answers the why. Our God is a God of eternal relationship. And when he created us in his image, he called his workmanship very good. He said, that's very good. That's very good. My workmanship is very good. It's very good. Not just good. Very good. Although man missed the mark, God did not change his mind about us. And he never does. He calls those things which be not as though they are. He looks at us with the eyes of faith and sees the finished product and says, wow, look at that. Look at her go. Look at him go. And he smiles. Dwelling forever in his presence is our highest call. It's his most rewarding gift that he could have given us. And it's our inheritance as his kids. His presence is, he's always available. He's not like earthly fathers. It's this, I'm busy. Come see me later. Or maybe not even that. I'm busy. I can't talk. We have continual access to our Father, our Papa God. He never checks out on us, and he doesn't reject us. He doesn't criticize us. He loves it. But the enemy does not. I realize, boy, when I preach, I tend to talk about the enemy, and I don't like to give him press, but we're supposed to not be ignorant of the enemy and his devices. And sometimes we are. That's why they put it in, Holy Spirit put it in the book. The enemy continually tries to challenge that truth of us having continual access. He tries to get us to pull back to our before, which was guilt and shame and, I wouldn't want to bother him. He's still the accuser of the brethren. Just like God, he has not changed. He is the accuser of the brethren. But now, through the cross of Christ, we have been presented holy, blameless, not just before man, and not just before the devil, but before God himself. I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, as Christians, if you've been around for a while, we can read words and sometimes forget the impact and the reality of what they really mean. And when you encounter, or when I encounter, the Spirit of the living God or the presence, I will never forget, and I was not going to share this, but I'm going to. We were at a conference, Jung-Suk will remember, years and years and years ago. And it was during worship, and the presence of God, it was so strong, everyone was on their face. And this was probably a couple thousand people there. And the worship went to a place of intensity I cannot describe. And all of a sudden, the Lord walked in the room. And, there's times where, the Lord's here, No. The Lord walked in the room. Talked about fear. I think you mentioned, as far as the fear of the Lord. We're not afraid because he loves us, but he is the God of the universe. He is the holiest thing of the universe. And he walked in. I thought I was going to die. I never have experienced anything like it since. And I knew I didn't die because I heard Jung-Suk sobbing next to me. So I knew that otherwise we had both died and she was still next to me. I will never, ever forget that feeling. And I have to say, and it's biblical, it was the terror of the Lord, but not in a bad way. It's hard to explain. His holiness is so intense. It's so intense that just even a little tiny, tiny bit of his presence, I knew who I was. I knew who I was. And he has made us holy and blameless in his sight. Goes beyond the mind. The mind is the pivotal player here. Because if we want to walk in this as a daily reality, our mind, like I said, it's that gateway. It's the gateway that either turns us towards God and agreeing with him, or toward the enemy and agreeing with him. There is no neutral. That's a lie. There's no neutral. Choose this day who are you going to serve? And it's interesting. He said, choose who you're going to serve. He said, choose this day, which means every day we get a choice. I get a choice. I know I get a choice. Are you going to love that person? Are you going to do this or are you going to do that? And now, again, a lot of it's unconscious because we're going through our life. Sam Storms, those of you that remember Sam, says it well in his devotional book, The Hope of Glory. We need to fight the paralyzing power of past transgressions and the crippling fear of what lies ahead by strengthening our soul with the inspired promise that now, because of Christ and in Christ, we are reconciled and redeemed. We are to be the happiest people on this planet. We are. So sometimes we have to remind our faces of that, because people are watching us. They are. If they know you're a Christian, then they'll never say that, of course, but they're watching. Now, I'm not saying perform. We need to be real. We're still human, obviously. But we need to remember who we are and whose we are. So, let's ask Jesus, see what he has to say. Close your eyes. I want you to say, Jesus, remember you're in a mini sozo here, repeat after me. Jesus, why were you willing to lay down your life for me? What do you see of value in me? Okay, I pray that you connected with him on that question, because it's important. And if you didn't get enough time, you know, you can do this at home all the time. Questions are awesome. I have a devotional that I've been using. Actually, I'm going through it again for probably the third time. That's called Questions for Jesus. Because he loves it when we ask him questions. You know, he's our friend, sticks closer to them than a brother. I mean, he's our bridegroom king. He's the one that he likes to communicate with us. He likes to hang out with us. So we've gone through our before. We've gone to verse 22, which was but now. And as we go into verse 23, we realize now we've been forgiven, washed, reconciled, and recreated in our spirit. But to continue with the ongoing after in our lives, we can't move away from the hope of the gospel, because Paul talks about that. You know, I believe our hope of the gospel in this life is that we have an abundant life, a life that's filled with love, with peace, with power, with joy, and every other good thing that Jesus purchased for us. When he said it's finished, when Jesus was on that cross and he said it's finished and he gave up his spirit, he declared that he had completed the assignment of our salvation that Father had given him. And that included meeting all of our needs for all of our life. And then after. But you know, Father God had something even greater. If we can imagine, he chose to give us Jesus. He chose to put him inside of us as well, along with his spirit, so that we are now houses of God, temples of God, and we have Jesus, the hope of glory. I won't skip ahead to that verse, even though I love that verse, inside of us. I mean, that's the love of our Father. It goes above and beyond all we could ever think or imagine that he would do that. This is a huge upgrade from Adam and Eve. You know, they didn't have God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. But they didn't have the Spirit living on the inside of them like we do. But even as Jesus declared in John 14:9 that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, we are to be those that if you see me, you see Jesus. You've seen Jesus. That's our job. That is our assignment. Because it gets passed down from the Father to the Son, and we have the Spirit that actually indwells within us, that is working continually within us to help us do that. But remember, where much has been given, much is required. And our lives now are not our own. Sometimes if we feel like they're ours, but they're God's. If we've given our life to Christ, our lives are His. So Jesus lives in us, and He walks with us by His Spirit now. We've been given the very best, and we have an assignment and a part and a response to play. And our part, like I said, is nothing short of looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, sounding like Jesus. And to do that, we have to continually choose to live in that brand new creation. Remember, a new creation in Christ. We're a new man, a new woman. We're actually one new man, one new woman that wasn't there before. We're a brand new being that didn't exist prior to our accepting Christ. I like, again, another Bill Johnson quote, but I love these one-liners. I have to confess, I found a website, one-liners by Bill Johnson. I was like in heaven. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know such a thing existed. So this comes from that. The renewed mind is the canvas on which the Spirit of God can paint. I love that. But remember, it's the renewed mind. We really want and we really need the mind of Christ. We need a mind that will partner with God in all the possibilities as well as the impossibilities. A mind that sees and loves people the way Jesus does. A mind that embraces, agrees, and works with the Holy Spirit in releasing the kingdom of God. But that only happens when our minds are transformed. That's why this verse starts off. When we were alienated, our minds had a major portion in our before. And they have a major part to play in our after as well. We now live, now, today, on the God side. The transforming, victorious, life-giving, loving side of the cross. We don't live on that other side anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus actually spent quite a bit of time, if you go through the Gospels, talking about bringing heaven to earth. In fact, he talked probably almost as much, maybe more, I don't know exactly, but than going to heaven. He cares about our day-to-day. He cares about how we live, not as a taskmaster, but because he died to give us a life that is abundant with all those things that we talked about. In his book, What on Earth is Glory? Isn't that a great title? What on Earth is Glory? Paul Manwaring writes, instead of thinking about what will happen when we die, we are to think that we already have died, which we have. Instead of seeking to go to heaven, we are to seek heaven because that is where we already are. Our lives are to be a constant journey of learning what is eternally true about us and how to live from that reality on a daily basis. It's, you know, that reads and sounds really good. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Living it, on the other hand, can be a little bit more challenging. But it's doable because that's our, the Father's prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wouldn't tell us to do it if we couldn't with the Spirit's help. So, I'm licking my finger. How many of you were at my training at Mechanic Falls? I was doing this, remember? Doing this to turn the pages. And I, by mistake, I licked the microphone. Talk about humbling. I was like, oh, geez. And I can't believe I just shared that with you. But this is what happens when you get me. I'm definitely not Mario. Okay, back on track. Here in the book of Colossians, Paul, as we've heard, is in a literal prison. And we don't even need to go into all that probably included. Yet he's receiving Holy Spirit downloads. Not just for him. Holy Spirit downloads of freedom for us. For all of us to walk out in our after with God. You know, many times, I woke up the other morning and this literally went right across the screen of my mind. Many times we too live imprisoned, not in the natural, like Paul probably, some maybe, but in the circumstances of our life. Oh, I mean, that was obviously first for me because I needed to hear it. But it's in those very times. We know this. Those of you that have been around the block for a while with the Lord, you know that it's in those times that are hard, but you hang on to him. You hang on to him and you believe his word that he manifests his glory in and through us, but only if we don't quit. And quitting is so tempting sometimes. When things are tough, let's face it. And again, we have an enemy that would love us to quit. You know, that word if shows up in scripture a lot. You know that. Well, I had to Google that, of course. And some sites say that the word if in the Bible shows up about 1,500 times. So that's pretty, you know, quite a few times there. Our salvation may be free, but only if we choose to receive Jesus. We can have peace in our soul, but only if we keep our mind stayed on him. Our joy may be made full, but only if we spend time in his presence. There are conditions. It is the way it works. And again, our enemy loves to distract us. Oh, in fact, this morning, I feel like I had a word for somebody, and I'm going to throw it out here now just because it came back to my mind. I felt like I first check myself always because many times it's just for me. But I felt like either someone or maybe all of us are really battling with distraction. I mean, to the point where it's torment of distraction. Like not being able to fix your mind on something. And I just felt like the Lord said he's gonna break that. He's gonna free you of that. And I know we all have to battle with that to some degree, but this was intense. This was intense, like you couldn't even get a full thought out because of all the things that were popping up in your mind's eye and trying to divert you into another direction. Just rejoice on that. If the enemy's been doing that with you, it means God's got some really cool stuff that he's going to download and give to you. And the enemy does not want you to get it. So we can look at that as exciting. We need to be reminded that we live in the kingdom of glory now, today. Today is the day of salvation, not just when we die. And I like how Eric Johnson describes this in his book, Christ in You. He says, every believer needs to live with the conviction of the reality of the kingdom now. We have to realize that there's only one direction in the kingdom, from glory to glory. There is no other direction. There is no such thing as stagnation in the spirit. There isn't. The kingdom moves forward. It does not move back. Glory to glory might not look like what we might think, though. In fact, probably it doesn't. And it's definitely not like from a worldly perspective of what we think. But if we choose not to quit and we keep our minds and our hearts set on Jesus, that is exactly what happens. And sometimes we don't recognize it until we go, wow. And we take a quick peek back and we realize, wow, Lord, look what you've done. Look at how you brought me through this, our family through this. Look at how faithful and look at how much work you've done in me. I'm not there yet, but I'm sure on my way. I'm farther down that road than I was a year ago, 6 months ago. Every time we choose not to quit. Our after with God never ends. We just keep getting brighter and brighter and more like Jesus, and then we go screaming into eternity. And it probably won't end there either, because we read in Isaiah 9 where it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Yeah. The Holy Spirit was given to each of us. Each one of us. When we received Christ, we received the Holy Spirit. And he was given to each of us to show us our part, to teach us our part, and to empower us to do our part. That's our after. That's our after with God. Holy Spirit loves, he loves to tutor and teach and train, and he loves to see Jesus formed in us and have us transformed through him. So let's ask him. Let's ask Holy Spirit. So let's close your eyes. Last one. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, how do you help me do my part and bring glory to Jesus? Okay. We've asked God a few questions today. And I pray that you are encouraged, but remember, if you did not hear, did not see, did not sense anything, do not allow the enemy to secretly whisper in your ear a lie like, that's because you're not good enough. That's because he loves them more than me, than you. That's because he's angry with you. That's because you're not as important. Those are all lies, and they're not true. God speaks to us many ways, but he especially speaks and continues to speak through his word. So let Holy Spirit direct you to scriptures that will he wants to breathe on and make personal and intimate for you. He loves to do that. Because just as we have an accuser of the brethren, in direct opposite, we have a perfect Father God, whom Jesus reconciled us to. He sees the good work that he's done and that he's doing, and he desires to draw that out by revealing it to each one of us so that we can co-labor with him and be all that we were created to be. That is what we all want. That we all want to hear Jesus say, good work, great work, good and faithful servant and friend. Let's stand.